When the control of the body, A, is feeble, it sometimes happens that the hand, C, becomes so thoroughly enmeshed in lower matter that, as said, it actually identifies itself, page 177, with the lower matter, forgets for the time its higher state, and thinks of itself as a whole ego. If the matter be of the lower mental plane, then we shall have a man who is wholly materialistic. He may perhaps be keenly intellectual, but not spiritual. He may very likely be intolerant of spirituality, and quite unable to comprehend or appreciate it. He may probably call himself practical, matter of fact, page 119, unsentimental, while in reality he is as hard as the nether millstone, and, because of that hardness, his life, from the point of view of the ego, is a failure, and he is making no spiritual progress. If, on the other hand, the matter in which he is so fatally entangled be astral, he will, on the physical plane, be one who thinks only of his own gratification, who is utterly ruthless when in pursuit of some object which he strongly desires, a man quite unprincipled, and of brutal selfishness. Such a man lives in his passions, just as the man immersed in mental matter lives in his mind. Cases such as these have been spoken of as lost souls, though they are not irretrievably lost. H. P. Blavatsky says of such men, there is, however, still hope for a person who has lost his higher soul through his vices, while he is yet in the body. He may still be redeemed and made to turn on his material nature. For either an intense feeling of repentance, or one single earnest appeal to the ego that has fled, or best of all, an active effort to amend one's ways, may bring the higher ego back again. The thread of connection is not altogether broken. Secret Doctrine, 3527. In returning to our analogy of the investment, we note that, in making his investment, the ego expects not only to recover the handset, but he expects also that it will be improved both in quality and quantity. Its quality should be better, because it should be much more awake, and capable of instant and accurate response to a far more varied gamut of vibrations than before. Page 178, this capacity the hand, C, when reabsorbed, necessarily communicates to the body, A, though, of course, the store of energy which made such a powerful wave in the hand, C, will be able to create a ripple, when distributed throughout the whole substance of the body, A. We should remind ourselves here that although the vehicles can respond to, and express, evil thoughts and emotions, and although their excitement under such vibrations can produce perturbation in the entangled causal matter, C, yet it is quite impossible for, C, to reproduce those vibrations itself, or to communicate them to the arm B, or the body, A, simply because matter of the three higher mental levels can no more vibrate at the rate of the lowest plane than the string of a violin tuned to a certain pitch can be made to produce a note lower than that pitch. The hand C, should also be increased in quantity, because the causal body, like all other vehicles, is constantly changing its matter, and, when special exercise is given to a certain part of it, that part grows in size, and becomes stronger, precisely as a physical muscle does, when it is used. Every earth life is an opportunity, carefully calculated, for such development in quality and quantity as is most needed by the ego. A failure to use that opportunity means the trouble and delay of another similar incarnation, and sufferings probably aggravated by the additional karma incurred. Against the increment, which the ego has a right to expect from each incarnation, we must offset a certain amount of loss which, in the earlier stages, is scarcely avoidable. In order to be effective, the entanglement with lower matter must be very intimate, and it is found that when this is so, it is scarcely ever possible to recover every particle, especially from the connection with the astral body. Page 120. When the time comes for separation from the astral body, it is almost always a shade and not a mere shell vide the astral body, pages 170-171, that is left behind, page 179, on the astral plane, and that very distinction means that some of the causal material is lost. Except in the case of an unusually bad life, however, this amount should be much smaller than that gained by growth, so that there should be, on the whole, a profit on the transaction. Diagram 27 illustrates this case, which may be regarded as the normal state of affairs. The student should not allow the analogy of the arm and the hand to mislead him into thinking of the arm, B, and hand, C, as permanent appendages of the ego. During a life period they may certainly be considered as separate, but at the end of each life period, they withdraw into the body, A, and the result of the experience is distributed, as it were, through the whole mass of its substance. When, therefore, the time comes for the ego again to put part of himself into incarnation, he does not, nor can he, stretch out again the old arm, B, and the old hand, C, for they have become absorbed in him and become part of him, just as a cupful of water emptied into a bucket becomes part of the water in the bucket, and cannot be separated from it. Any coloring matter, symbolizing the qualities developed by experience, which was present in the cup is distributed though in paler tint, through the whole bucketful of water. The plan is, therefore, exactly parallel to that we have already studied in the case of group souls, page 180, except that a group soul may put down many tentacles simultaneously, while the ego puts forth only one at a time. In each incarnation, therefore, the personality is obviously quite a different one from those preceding it, though, of course, the ego behind it remains the same. In the case of men, such as those described above, men living entirely in their passions or their minds, there would be no gain, either in quality or quantity, since the vibrations would not be such as could be stored in the causal body. And, on the other hand, as the entanglement has been so strong, there would certainly be considerable loss when the separation took place. In cases where the hand, C, has asserted itself against the arm, B, and pressed it back towards the body, A, the arm, B, has become attenuated, and almost paralyzed, its strength and substance being withdrawn into the body, while the hand, C, has set up for itself, and makes on its own account jerky and spasmodic movements, which are not controlled by the brain. If the separation could become perfect, it would correspond to an amputation at the wrist, but this very rarely takes place during physical existence, page 121, although only so much communication remains as is necessary to keep the personality alive. Diagram 27b illustrates the case we have been describing. Such a case is not hopeless, for even at the last moment fresh life may be poured through the paralyzed arm, if a sufficiently strong effort be made, and thus the ego may be enabled to recover some proportion of the hand, C, just as he has already recovered most of the arm, B. Nevertheless, such a life has been wasted, for, even if the man just contrived to escape serious loss, at any rate nothing has been gained, and much time has been frittered away. The most disastrous catastrophe which can occur to an ego is that in which the personality captures the part of the ego which is put down, and actually causes it to break away. Such cases are exceedingly rare, but they have happened. Page 181, this time, the hand C, instead of repelling the arm, B, and driving it gradually back into the body, A, by degrees absorbs the arm, B, and detaches it from the body, A. Diagram 28C illustrates such a case. This could be accomplished only by determined persistence in deliberate evil, in short, by black magic. Continuing the analogy, this is equivalent to amputation at the shoulder, or to the loss by the ego of nearly all his available capital. Fortunately for him, he cannot lose everything, because the arm B, and the hand C, together are only a small proportion of the body A, and behind, A, is the great undeveloped portion of the ego, on the first and second mental subplanes. Mercifully a man, however incredibly foolish or wicked, cannot completely wreck himself, for he cannot bring that higher part of the causal body into activity, until he has reached a level at which such evil is unthinkable. There are certain men, who deliberately set themselves in opposition to nature and, instead of working for unity, towards which the whole force of the universe is pressing, they debase every faculty they possess for purely selfish ends. They spend their lives striving for separateness, and for a long time they attain it, It is said that the sensation of being utterly alone in space is the most awful fate that can ever befall a man. This extraordinary development of selfishness is, page 182 of course, the characteristic of the black magician, and it is among their ranks only that men can be found who are in danger of this terrible fate. Many and loathsome as are their varieties, they may all be classed in one or other of two great divisions. Both classes use such occult arts as they possess for selfish purposes, but these purposes differ. In the commoner and less formidable type, the object pursued is the gratification of sensual desire of some sort. Naturally, the result of such a life is to center the man's energy in his astral body. Having, page 122, succeeded in killing out from himself every unselfish or affectionate feeling, every spark of higher impulse, nothing is left but a remorseless, ruthless monster of lust, who finds himself after death neither able nor desiring to rise above the lowest subdivisions of the astral plane. The whole of such mind as he has is absolutely in the grip of desire, and, when the struggle takes place, the ego can recover none of it, and in consequence finds himself seriously weakened. For the time being he has cut himself off from the current of evolution, and so, until he can return to incarnation, he stands, or so it seems to him outside that evolution, in the condition of Avicii, the waveless. Even when he does return to incarnation, it cannot be among those whom he has known before, for he has not enough available capital left to provide ensoulment for a mind and body at his previous level. He must now be content, therefore, to occupy vehicles of a far less evolved type, belonging to some earlier race. He has thus thrown himself far back in evolution, and must climb over again many rungs of the ladder. He will probably be born as a savage, but will most likely be a chief among them, as he will still have some intellect. It has been said that he may even throw himself so far back that he may be unable to find in the world, in its present condition, any type of human body low enough for the manifestation which he now requires, so that he may be incapacitated from taking any further part in the scheme of evolution, and may therefore have, page 183, to wait, in a kind of condition of suspended animation, for the commencement of another. Meanwhile, the amputated personality, having broken the silver thread that binds it to the master, is, of course, no longer a permanent evolving entity, but remains full of vigorous and wholly evil life, entirely without remorse or responsibility. As it is destined to disintegrate amidst the unpleasant surroundings of the eighth sphere, it tries to maintain some sort of existence on the physical plane as long as possible. The sole means of prolonging its baneful existence is vampirism of some sort. When that fails, it has been known to seize upon any available body, driving out the lawful owner. The body chosen might very probably be that of a child, both because it might be expected to last longer, and because an ego, which had not yet really taken hold, could be more easily dispossessed. In spite of its frenzied efforts, its power seems soon to fail, and it is said there is no instance on record of its successfully stealing a second body, after its first theft is worn out. The creature is a demon of the most terrible type, a monster for whom there is no permanent place in the scheme of evolution to which we belong. Its natural tendency, therefore, is to drift out of this evolution and to be drawn into that astral cesspool known as the eighth sphere, because what passes into it stands outside the ring of our seven worlds, or globes, and cannot return, into their evolution. There, surrounded by loathsome relics of all the concentrated vileness of the ages that are past, burning ever with desire, yet without the possibility of satisfaction, this monstrosity slowly decays, its mental and causal matter being thus at last set free. Such matter will never rejoin the ego from which it has torn itself, but will be distributed among the other matter of the plane, to enter gradually into fresh combinations, and so be put to better uses. Such entities are, as already stated, page 184, exceedingly rare, and, moreover, they have power to seize only those who have in their nature pronounced defects of a kindred type. Page 123. The other type of black magician, in outward appearance more respectable, is yet really even more dangerous, because more powerful. This is the man who, instead of giving himself up altogether to sensuality, sets before himself the goal of a more refined but not less unscrupulous selfishness. His object is the acquisition of occult power higher and wider, but still to be used always for his own gratification and advancement, to further his own ambition, or satisfy his own revenge. In order to gain this, he adopts the most rigid asceticism as regards mere fleshly desires, and starves out the grosser particles of his astral body, as perseveringly as does the pupil of the Great White Brotherhood. But, though it is only a less material kind of desire, with which he will allow his mind to become entangled, the center of his energy is nonetheless entirely in his personality. When therefore, the separation, at the end of the astral life, takes place, the ego is unable to recover any of his investment. For this man the result is, therefore, much the same as in the former case, except that he will remain in touch with the personality much longer, and will to some extent share its experiences, so far as it is possible for an ego to share them. The fate of that personality, however, is very different. The comparatively tenuous astral integument is not strong enough to hold it for any length of time on the astral plane, and yet it has entirely lost touch with the heaven world, which should have been its habitat. For the whole effort of the man's life has been to kill out such thoughts as naturally find their result at that level. His one endeavor has been to oppose natural evolution, to separate himself from the great whole, and to war against it, and, as far as the personality is concerned, he has succeeded. It is cut off from the light and life of the solar system, page 185, all that is left to it is the sense of absolute isolation, of being alone in the universe. Thus, in this rare case, the lost personality practically shares the fate of the ego from which it is in process of detaching itself. But, in the case of the ego, such an experience is only temporary, although it may last for what we would call a very long time, and the end of it will be reincarnation, and a fresh opportunity. For the personality, however, the end is disintegration, the invariable end, of course, of that which has cut itself off from its source. In the case of this kind, involving the loss of an entire personality, the ego does no evil intentionally. He has let the personality get out of hand, and for that he is responsible. He is therefore responsible for weakness, rather than for direct evil. Whilst the ego has fallen back terribly, yet he does go on, probably not immediately, because he seems to be stunned at first. After such an experience, an ego would always be peculiar. He would be dissatisfied, and would have recollections of something higher and greater than now he could reach. It is a fearful condition, but still the ego has to take the karma of it, and realize that he has brought it upon himself. It is reported that there is another even more remote possibility. Just as the hand, C, may absorb the arm B, and revolt against the body, A, setting up on its own account and breaking away altogether, it is or at any rate has been in the past, just possible that the disease of separateness and selfishness, may, page 124, infect the body A, also. Even if it is then absorbed into the monstrous growth of evil, and may be torn away from the undeveloped portion of the ego, so that the causal body itself may be hardened and carried away, instead of only the personality. Diagram 28D illustrates this case. This class of case would correspond, not to an amputation, but an entire destruction of the body. Such an ego could not reincarnate in the human race, page 186, ego though it be, it would fall into the depths of animal life, and would need at least a whole chain period to regain the status which it had lost. This, though theoretically possible, is practically scarcely conceivable. It will be noted, however, that even in this case the undeveloped part of the ego remains as the vehicle of the monad. Whilst some ancient scriptures speak of men sinking back into the animal kingdom, there is no direct evidence of any such cases. There are other cases in which man may come into touch with animal consciousness, and suffer terribly through it, vide the astral body, p.142, but to reincarnate as an animal is not possible now. Whatever may have been possible in the distant past. We may here make a slight digression, in order to explain how it is that even in cases such as those described above, a really serious loss is no easy matter. Owing to the fact that good thoughts and emotions work in the higher types of matter, and that finer matter is far more easily moved than coarser matter, it follows that a given amount of force spent in good thought or feeling produces perhaps 100 times as much effect as precisely the same amount of force sent out into coarser matter. If this were not so, it is obvious that the ordinary man would make no progress at all. If a man throws a certain amount of energy into some evil quality, it has to express itself through the lower and heavier astral matter, and, whilst any kind of astral matter is exceedingly subtle as compared with anything on the physical plane, yet, as compared with higher matter of its own plane, it is just as gross as lead is on the physical plane, when compared with the finest ether. If therefore, a man should exert exactly the same amount of force in the direction of good, it would have to move through much finer matter of the higher sub-planes, and would produce, as said, at least 100 times as much effect, or, page 187, if we compare the lowest with the highest, probably more than 1,000 times as much. Whilst we are probably entitled to assume that 90% of the thought and feeling of the undeveloped man is self-centered, even if not actually selfish, yet, if 10% of it is spiritual and unselfish, the man must already be rising somewhat above the average. In fact, if these proportions did produce commensurate results, the vast majority of humanity would take 9 steps backwards for every 1 forward, and we should have retrogression so rapid that a few incarnations would deposit us in the animal kingdom, out of which we evolved. Happily for us, however, the effect of the 10% of force, directed to good ends, enormously, page 125, outweighs that of the 90%, devoted to selfish purposes, and so, on the whole, such a man makes an appreciable advance from life to life. A man who can show even 1% of good makes a slight advance, so it will be readily understood that a man whose account balances exactly, so that there is neither advance nor retrogression, must have been living a distinctly evil life, while to obtain an actual descent in evolution, a person must be an unusually consistent villain. Apart from these considerations, we have to bear in mind that the Logos himself is, by his resistless power, steadily pressing the whole system onwards and upwards, and that, however slow this cyclic progression may seem to us, it is a fact which cannot be neglected, for its effect is, that a man who accurately balances his good and evil, comes back, not to the same actual position, but to the same relative position, and therefore even he has made some slight advance, and is, as it were, in a position just a little better than that which he has actually deserved and made for himself. It is thus clear, that if anyone is so foolish as to want to go really backwards against the stream, he will have to work hard indefinitely towards evil. There is no fear of sliding back. That is one of the old delusions, which, page 189, remains from the times of the belief in the orthodox devil, who was so much stronger than the deity that everything in the world was working in his favor. The fact is that the exact opposite is the case, and everything round a man is calculated to assist him, if only he understands it. Page 126, Chapter 26. The Ego and the Personality, page 189, in the mental body we examined the relationship between the personality and the ego, principally from the point of view of the personality. It is now necessary to study more deeply the relationship between the ego and the personality, this time from the point of view of the ego. Let us recapitulate the main facts regarding the constitution of man as monad, ego and personality. The fragment of the divine life, which we know as the monad, manifests itself upon the plane of Tm as the triple spirit, Vidhi diagram 12, p. 36. Of these three aspects, 1, the spirit itself, remains upon its own plane, that of Tma. The second, that of intuition, or pure reason, as it is sometimes called, puts itself down 1 stage, and expresses itself through the matter of the plane of Buddhi. The third aspect, that of intelligence, puts itself down 2 planes, and expresses itself through the matter of the higher mental plane. This expression of the monad, on the planes of Ma, buddhi and manas, is the ego, or individuality. The ego expresses itself on the lower planes as a personality, which is also triple in its manifestation, and is, moreover, an accurate reflection of the arrangement of the ego. But, like other reflections, it reverses itself. Intelligence, or higher manas, reflects itself in lower manas. Pure reason, or buddhi, reflects itself in thestral body, and, in some way much more difficult to comprehend, the spirit of Ma, reflects itself upon the physical plane. There is always a link or line of communication, page 190, between the higher self, or ego, and the lower self, or personality. This link is known as Antakarana. This Sanskrit word means the inner organ, or inner instrument. H. P. Blavatsky spoke of it as the link, channel or bridge between higher manas and karma manas during incarnation. Speaking of one who can unite karma manas with higher manas, through the lower manas, she speaks of lower manas, when pure and free from karma, as the Antakarana. The Antakarana may be regarded as the arm stretched out, between the little piece of the ego that is awakened, and the part put down, the hand. When the two are perfectly joined, that is, when the ego and the personality are perfectly in tune, and united, then the attenuated thread of Antakarana ceases to exist. Its destruction implies that the ego no longer needs an instrument, but works directly on the personality. When one will operate the ego and the personality, then there is no longer any need for Antakarana. Page 127. The term Antakarana, or internal agency, is used also in another sense, to denote the whole of the triple higher self or ego, because this is the channel or bridge between the monad and the lower self. In its earlier stages, man's evolution consists in the opening of this Antakarana, or line of communication, so that the ego may be increasingly able to assert himself through it, and finally entirely to dominate the personality, so that it may have no separate thought or will, but may be merely, as it should be, an expression of the ego on the lower planes, so far, of course, as the limitations of the lower planes permit. The link that binds the lower to the higher self is often spoken of as a thread of silver, as befits an emblem of purity. The heart is the center in the body for the higher triad, Ma, buddhi, manas, so that when the consciousness is centered in the heart, during meditation, it is most susceptible to the influence of the higher self, or ego. The head is the seat of the psycho-intellectual man, it has its various functions in seven cavities, including the, page 191, pituitary body and the pineal gland. He who in concentration can take his consciousness from the brain to the heart should be able to unite karma manas to the higher manas, through the lower manas, which, when pure and free from karma, is the Antakarana. He will then be in a position to catch some of the promptings of the higher triad. The man who is absolutely untrained has practically no communication with the ego. The initiate, on the other hand, has full communication. Consequently, we find, as is to be expected, that there are men at all stages between these two extremes. The student will by this time have appreciated the enormous importance of realizing the existence of this connection between the higher and lower self, and of doing everything that he can to strengthen that link so that the ego and the personality may gradually come to function as one entity. To help him in this task may, perhaps, be regarded as the grand motif of this series of four books, explanatory of man's constitution, and the various bodies through which he functions. Whilst endeavoring in many ways and by many devices, to appreciate and realize the great difference between the viewpoints of the personality and the ego, we must ever bear in mind, as has been repeatedly said, that there is only one consciousness, yet often we clearly feel two, and are led to wonder, whether the ego is entirely dissociated from the physical body. We must, however, realize that there is only one consciousness, the apparent difference being caused by the limitations of the various vehicles. We should not therefore imagine that there are two entities in man. There never is any lower self as a separate being, but, as we have seen, the ego puts down a tiny portion of himself into the personality, in order to experience the vibrations of the lower planes. The fundamental identity between higher and lower manas must be kept constantly in mind. 4. Page 128. Convenience sake, we distinguish between them. But the difference is one of functioning activity, not of nature. Page 192. Lower manas is one with higher manas, in the same way that the ray is one with the sun.